Welcome to the Press Pass Podcast. I'm Mark Scott, joined this week by Buffalo News Suburban Editor Bruce Andriach. Bruce, welcome aboard.
Good to be here, Mark.
Western New York is in the midst of a drought. The area did receive some rain late last week, but it wasn't nearly enough to help the region's farmers who are in desperate need of rain for their crops. And even in this area, with its plentiful supply of fresh water, at least one town was asking its residents to reduce water usage, especially the washing of cars or watering lawns. And that town happened to be Grand Island.
Yeah, a little bit of irony there, right? That the town surrounded by fresh water had to do something about cutting back on water. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and the issue was they've got plenty of fresh water, but it needs to be in the reservoir. And if they can't keep up to capacity there, that's the problem.
Right. It points to the fact that you know, when we have these unusual summer weather events that, you know, we're as susceptible to the problems created by drought as other areas. Thankfully, we don't have some of the tragedy and some of the real damage that happens in places with wildfires and things like that. But, yeah, our farmers and lots of people are affected badly by this.
Yet we haven't heard similar warnings or advisories from the Erie County Water Authority, which provides water for most suburbs. So apparently I have to assume they're able to meet the demand.
Yeah, and I wonder if maybe people have started to use a little bit more common sense when things like this are happening. We had a person write a letter to the editor at the paper saying, if anybody has a green lawn at this time of year, they should be fined because there's no reason that it shouldn't be brown. One of my colleagues wrote the story years ago, and it was news to me that there's really no point to water your lawn. Your grass is always going to come back. It's going to turn brown. It'll turn green later. So, you know, why do that? It does seem kind of wasteful. That's why I've never done it. And the other things, you know, don't wash your car as often as you normally would. Don't use water at peak times of the day. I hope that people have just gotten the message and maybe they're a little bit smarter about it, and that's why we're in this position.
Personally, I usually don't water the lawn, but I just feel so bad that I'm starving my lawn and it's thirsty.
I
have done it a couple of times.
I feel like the more I water it, the more I'm going to have to cut it, so that's a reason for me to not do it.
Well, it's been interesting in this extreme heat that we've been seeing some water main breaks. We only see that usually in winter,
right?
But the heat is causing the ground to contract, and that's causing some mains to break.
It's another reminder that the thing that we absolutely rely on everywhere, and everyone relies on, is within this system that is so old and so prone to breakdowns that it worries me. Whenever I hear there's a water main break, I realize it's a fairly commonplace event, but there's a lot of things going on underground that need repair, and, you know, we're at a bad time fiscally to try to do some of these things. So maybe another reason, I'm not sure if overusage has had anything to do with that, but another reason just to stop and think before you use water that maybe you don't need to.
Well, you bring up a good point about the infrastructure and the costs associated with that. In the winter, we hear about extreme weather, a lot of snow, really impacting town budgets. You know, they have to pay for snowplow drivers. They have to pay for more salt supplies. But for the average town government, is there any impact when you have extreme heat and dryness on local government's bottom line?
There really shouldn't be. And I was thinking about that recently to see if there is a story to do about that. But with the exception of communities that have golf courses that maintain them by making sure that the grass is watered and, you know, make it more enjoyable to play, I don't think there really should be much of an impact. I think that the towns and villages and cities simply have to watch their water usage like the rest of us and ride this out. And it's funny, we're so used to dealing with weather as a problem, you know, a different 7 months of the year. It's been very strange this year to be so focused on the weather because we haven't been getting enough rain. But for the most part, from a municipal level, I don't think it's having much of an effect.
And their crews don't have to go out and cut the grass.
Yeah, that's another issue. I mean, we went through that last winter when we didn't get very much snow that the highway departments that normally would have been salting and plowing were able to do other projects. And that is a good question. I wonder if the non-lawn mowing that's going on is allowing highway crews to do other work.
I don't want people to think, though, that the lack of rain is not hitting us in the wallet, because this is still an agricultural state. A lot of crops are at risk, grapes, corn, what have you, because of all this dryness, and that could result in higher food prices for us down the line.
No question. I think we're already starting to see a little bit of that. And yeah, it is a reminder that you don't have to drive far in Western New York to see how valuable agriculture is to this region. And there's a lot of people who are hurting. You know, your average person probably isn't seeing a huge impact right now, but pretty much every farmer in New York State is waking up every morning, you know, praying or wishing for some rain to come down. And for their sake, I hope that does happen soon.
Let's move on to Lancaster, where the appointment of a new police officer is making headlines, basically because that officer is the grandson of the politically connected former supervisor. Can you give us the backstory here?
Sure. It's the son of longtime supervisor Bob Giza was appointed by the town board last week to fill an open spot on the police department. He was one of, I think it was 13 candidates who had scored the same score on the civil service exam. He's qualified. He has every right to be given the position. But his last name just happens to be Giza. And of course, people are going to question, are there some political strings being pulled to get him this job? And of course, the answer to that is yes. You know, there's nepotism that is rampant. Patronage and nepotism are two of our favorite activities in Western New York politics. So this is a young man who's benefited because of his last name. Now, it's not to say that he's not qualified. It's not to say he's not going to be a great police officer. But certainly there's a question of fairness that's raised that he got this job when others were just as qualified.
And it just contributes to people's they become skeptical of government and their leaders. And that doesn't help.
No. And I mean, what's interesting about this is this is a person whose grandfather is no longer in town government. This is almost, you know, a payment for a lifetime worth of service. We're going to give your descendants now benefits that other people can't get. And of course, we have a right to be skeptical about that, because, as I said, other people, you know, you and I want that job. If we don't have the right last name, we're not going to get it. And it is fundamentally unfair, and it is commonplace at the same time.
A Depew man who had a passion for bicycling is being remembered after he was struck and killed while biking to work at Wilson Great Batch in Clarence. Now, this incident and others like it in recent weeks has everyone calling on drivers to be aware of bicyclists and to share the road. But even if you are paying attention, accidents do happen, and cars are simply more powerful and bigger than bikes.
Everybody has to pay attention. It's wrong to ever see an event like this and blame one vehicle driver versus the other. I mean, if I understand the circumstances of this particular accident, everybody did everything right. It was just a simple matter of the driver of the vehicle not seeing the person on the bicycle. And it is the definition of a tragedy, because this is a guy who spent his life pushing for other people to make themselves as safe as possible while riding their bicycles. Having said that, I spend enough time outdoors now trying to co-mingle with vehicles as I run a little bit. And I do know that sometimes the people who are driving the cars act like anybody who's not in a car does not deserve the same space they do. That's wrong. And I honestly think that people just don't know what the law is sometimes. And it behooves everybody to understand that the roads, even though they were built for vehicles, are for the use of everybody who wants to use them, runners, walkers, bikers, and we need to treat it as such.
It's interesting. I have to share this. I was in the Buffalo Broadcasters Association run a few weeks ago, and we were running along the Erie Basin Marina Road, and there was this car trying to inch out into the path, and there were a lot of runners behind me, and I looked at them and said, stop.
Right.
You know, just stop. You know, don't try getting into the lanes of traffic here, because there's a run going on and you're just going to have to wait.
Yeah, we have to be defensive drivers when we're out there. We also have to be defensive runners and bikers. Mm-hmm. The reality is, and as I've taught my children how to drive, I've often told them, it's better to be in the right but let the other person do something stupid, as opposed to being in the right and continuing to act in an aggressive way. And I certainly do that when I'm running. When I see a car coming toward me, I'm not going to say, well, this shoulder belongs to me as much as it does you. I'm going to jump out of the way. But It's a matter of simple consideration, and, yeah. and unfortunately, I think it's a sign of larger issues in society.
And I don't bike as much as I used to, but when I do, I just tend to go to a bike path. I put the bike on the back of the car, and I just don't want to deal with traffic.
Yeah, that is an answer. I mean, I use bike paths as well. And it's unfortunate that we do that partially, as I've beat this drum many times, because we have built out so many communities without sidewalks that people are forced to literally share the road with motor vehicles, and because, unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there who think that the hierarchy is car first, everybody else second. But thankfully, at least we do have an option, and thankfully we take advantage of those.
Yeah, yeah. Bruce Andriach, suburban editor of the Buffalo News, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Mark.